Only smart people get up early enough to listen to the Francine Marie Show. So thanks for listening, smarty pants.
Oi, Billy! Oscar! Dave! Get up! Francine Marie Show's on!
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Ooh, sit down, get a cup of coffee, maybe some tea. How about some water? So we are joined by our new best friend, Dr. Michelle Meggs. She's the executive director over at UNC Charlotte Women and Girls Research Alliance. Now, Dr. Meggs connects community and organizations. That's why she's here. She's doing great work. She holds a doctorate of arts in humanities with a concentration in Africana Women's Studies from Clark Atlanta University. She has a Master of Divinity from Wake Forest University. And of course, we are so proud of her bachelor's degree from Johnson C. Smith University. Good morning, Dr. Meggs from UNC Charlotte.
Good morning. How are you?
I am good. Let's talk about the work you do with the Women and Girls Research Alliance.
Mm-hmm. I've been here just over 2 years. I started right at the beginning of the pandemic, which is really interesting. The Women and Girls Research Alliance was started in 2006, and the original name of the organization was the Women's Summit. And they were committed to looking at the issues that impact the lives of women and girls here in the Charlotte area. They started originally focusing on women and then expanded the vision to look at girls and see what was happening. So the Alliance is committed to looking at improving the lives of women and girls in the larger Charlotte metropolitan area by facilitating partnerships with researchers, community leaders, and civic investors to produce transformative outcomes for women and girls. And so we do that by focusing on three strategies that produce these outcomes. We engage in research, which is in our name. And so we do a lot of that through our competitive seed grant program. We offer seed grants every academic year for UNC Charlotte faculty to take a look and do a deep dive on issues. Frame that coming out of our Women's Summit that we do biannually. And so we offer seed grants for faculty to look at those issues. And so we work with grassroots and established organizations to help increase their capacity. So we do that work as well. And we work with the Urban Institute. We partner with them oftentimes, the Urban Institute here at UNC Charlotte. So we partner with them to help do that work. And so currently we're working with one local organization as they do this work on diversity, equity, and inclusion. So we're working with them to work on their evaluation plan as they do that work. And then we also convene, as I said earlier, since 2008, the Alliance has done a biannual Women's Summit. And so we encourage active data-driven partnerships that lead to improved outcomes for women and girls. So our last summit was in 2021 called Recovery and Discovery, Women and Girls in a Dual Pandemic. And so we looked at the economic, social, physical, and mental health impact of COVID-19, of the pandemic and racial unrest that was happening in our country. And so we were looking at what does that mean for women and girls? We know that this was the She Session, which was coined by C. Nicole Mason, looking at what does this mean for women as they're working? Women were forced to leave the workplace because who was going to take care of the children? Schools were closing, daycares were closing because we were trying to figure out how COVID was being spread and what does this mean? And so as girls had to come home because schools were closed, they were doing a lot of virtual education. A lot of girls were home helping to take care of children. Some had to go to work to help provide income from their families. An article in the New York Times that really hurt me to my core, talking about how some landlords were taking advantage of women financially, even sexually, because of their income status. They may not have been citizens, and they were taking advantage of them. And so I found that to be highly problematic. And so our summit in 2021 addressed these needs. And so we also offered virtual conversations that looked at some of these issues. How are we taking care of ourselves, our mental health, our financial health, our emotional health? And what are we doing? And so that's the work that we've been doing for the past 2 years.
You bring light to the voices that can't speak as loud as yours. I love it.
there's a lot of healing, I think, that needs to happen as a result of the pandemic. And I don't think that people are really talking about that. When the pandemic started, I was talking to some other sister scholars, and I said, there's a lot of work that's going to have to happen as a result of this pandemic. No one has really lived through that. And how are we going to heal as a nation as a result of this? The economic stress, the social stress, the physical stress, how are we going to heal? And then when you add race and gender and class, what are we going to do? And how are we going to have those conversations? And no one is doing that. And that's part of the work that we did.
Because once comes questions, then comes research, then comes solutions. But I think a lot of groups that I've witnessed will do the questionnaire and they'll do the research, but then there's no action at the end of it. Mm-hmm. This is just data we need. I'm glad there's somebody out there doing the work.
It's important for research to have legs. I really believe in that. It doesn't make sense for us to do the work and for it to sit on the shelf. Research has to have legs. It has to move in and through the communities who need these answers. And so I think that's what's so critical about the Women and Girls Research Alliance, is that we sit at that intersection between the work of researchers and scholars and also the community, because I think that they reinforce each other. Yes, we need the scholarship that happens in the academy, but we also have scholars in the community who have their ears to the ground, right? You don't always have to have a PhD to have the answers. A lot of times the answers are sitting right in the community, but people aren't always listening because people don't have the letters behind their name. Common sense offers solutions. And folks who are in the community see what's needed, but people don't always want to listen. And so that's why it's important for the work that we do, for us to connect the folks in the community who have the answers with the researchers who are looking for those answers or who know what the answers are, for them to connect in the middle, because both of these things reinforce one another.
I can dig it. I can dig it. Definitely.
Yeah.
Your work matters, right?
It does.
I got to put you on the spot. What research has been done, the projects that have been done, is one of your favorites through the Alliance?
There have been a few. My favorite has been Black Girls Film Camp. That project, we were with them their first year and their second year. And that was a project that was really critical about an opportunity for young Black girls to write their own narratives, to tell their own stories, and to use their voices, to utilize their own agency, to write and rewrite and redefine what it means to be a Black girl and to tell their own stories and to use technology to do so. So Dr. Jamika Anderson, instrumental in getting that done. And that has been one of my favorite projects. Also, we have supported projects that have looked at what's cancer like, women's access to cancer services, breast cancer screenings. Also looking at the stories of formerly incarcerated women trying to find housing and healing during COVID. Also looking at girls and STEM in schools. We have also supported projects on getting women scientists, undergraduate and graduate, getting their research published in journals and how to make that happen. Also looking at how mothers and their children talk about getting employed. So we've done a lot of work around women and children, again, looking at science and STEM and recreating narratives, rewriting narratives, doing that work because it's important. That's the kind of work and research that we funded around women and girls in general, and then narrowing down to particular populations whose voices have been marginalized and silenced for all different kinds of reasons.
That's all I can say about that. But you're a researcher as well.
I am. I've done some writing and some publishing. I'm just getting my feet wet. There is a researcher and scholar who has mentored me, and she said, you know, it takes 5 years to recover from the doctoral process. And that really freed me because I wasn't aware of that. When I went back to get my doctorate, I wanted something that would allow me to come back and help women in my community. That's the reason why I went back. I wanted to use my work and my research to do that. And so this position at UNC Charlotte allows me to do that. I have published. My second book chapter will be out. My first book chapter, the title of the chapter was called, Is There Room for the Ratchet in the Beloved Community, right? So it offered a critique of Martin Luther King's beloved community and who's in and who's out. And so that was in a book called Womanist Ethical Rhetoric. So that was the title of that book. The second book chapter, it will be out next year. I co-wrote that with a colleague of mine, and it's called The Rona and a Virtual Kitchen Table Politics of Community. And so that will be out next year. The title of the book right now is called Black Women and the Rona, Community Consciousness and the Ethics of Care. So that looks like it'll be out in 2023. And I wrote that with a colleague of mine, Ashley Hollingshead. And that book chapter looks at how Black women formed communities of care during this whole coronavirus virtually. And I look specifically at Dr. Melva Sampson's Pink Robe Chronicles, which is available. You can watch it on YouTube and on her Facebook Live, and how she used her platform to kind of talk about and highlight the needs of African-American communities in general, but Black women in particular, and how she used that as a way to care for and meet the needs of community. And still in the process now of working on a book. I'm in the beginning of that. So we'll see what that washes out to be. And my dissertation looked at, of all things, Tyler Perry's Madea and a social media character, Miss Charlene. And I looked at how both of them were kind of images of Black women's liberation in their own particular way, the problematics of it and what was positive about it. So my own particular research and scholarship looks at ratchetness and ratchet behavior as liberation for Black women and how critical that is, and reclaiming this idea of ratchetness as resistance to respectability politics and how it locks Black women into one particular way of being. And Black women are not a monolith. Like, we exist in different ways, and it takes all kinds of Black women to make the community work. And we need that, and it's important.
I was going down the rabbit hole of all you do and what you do and how you do it. I'm like, when does Dr. Meg slow down and take a vacation? When does Dr. Meg, when does she bake cakes or knits or climbs mount? What do you do to diffuse?
I'm working on that. I'm a Capricorn, and the goat does not know how to slow down. We don't know how to do that, but I'm working on it. I do exercise. I love the beach. So if anybody, you know, wants to gift this sister, you know, with a weekend, you know, in the Caribbean or something like that, hey, I am not ashamed. I'll take it. I do love the beach. I do try to get away. I do walk. I do try to slow down. I'm always moving, always going, all the time. And just try to find time for me. Like, I enjoy cooking. I just enjoy the process. I find that to be very relaxing. I'm an absolute book hound. I love reading when I get a chance. I love reading. My latest book grab is a book titled Tanqueray. It was a story that started on Instagram, Humans of New York. And it's a Black woman in New York. Her name was Tanqueray. And it's her story. And it is a very interesting one. So I was able to pick that up. It just came out.
An escape, or a way to use our imagination, it's reading.
Mm-hmm.
Because we use tell lie vision a lot of times to entertain us and educate us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I call it tell-lie vision, is because they're telling the story they want. The program, I work in programming. I mean, radio is programming in itself. It's like, get people used to this and this, and then we'll get them on a trajectory and they'll do what we say. But, you know, some people are enlightened right now and they're going to other sources. I love how you go to the water. Water resets. Water resets. We are made of water.
Yes, there is an African saying that water has no enemies, none. And so I go to the water because it's not my enemy. And you just go in and you put your feet in the water. I'm also an ordained minister. So I go to the water and I put my feet in and I pray and I just release because I have to. I have to. This world will burden you with so much. And we have to find places and spaces where we can just kind of release and let it go because it gets to be too much. And Black women carry the weight of the world on us. And I am one who says, let it go. Let it go. We cannot afford to do that. We cannot afford to do that. People tell us, oh, you know, Black don't crack. We might look good on the outside, but on the inside, we are breaking down. And I refuse to let that be my story. I refuse to do it. I won't do it. We have to learn to let stuff go. Stop carrying burdens that are not ours. Find ways to release things that we've been carrying and let folks carry their own stuff and stop letting other people tell us who we are, who we should be, who we ought to be. No, we get to decide who we are. No one else gets to tell our story but us. And we have to stop feeling like we have to be responsible for everyone and everything. That's not our job. That's not what we were born to do. We were not born to be the mule of the world, in the words of Zora Neale Hurston. No, I refuse. And if you want to know why we cannot afford to do that, read The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison. Read what happens to Pecola. No, I refuse.
Dr. Michelle Meigs, where can we catch up with you? Because I could talk to you all morning. You know, born into a world that's systematic, that's supposed to keep you at a certain in a certain lane. I'm glad that you're helping us get out of that lane, get into the lane that suits us best and the best path for us. Where can we find you online?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Everywhere, everybody.
No, yeah, I'm online. You know, if you want to follow me just for some encouragement and the things that I like to post, I am on Facebook. You can find me, The Ratchet Womanist. Ratchet Womanist. I'm on Facebook. That is where I would tell people find me. I am at Ratchet Womanist on Facebook. That's just where I go just to post, you know, an encouraging word for people. Ratchet Womanist. You know, I post funny things. I post encouraging words. I tell, you know, women to walk in your truth. Be who you are. You don't owe people any explanations about who you are, who you choose to be, why you choose to be. Do you and be you. When people ask me, who do I think I am daughter, sister, friend, auntie, the auntie that will show up. I am preacher. I am teacher. I am friend. I am the one who will stand in your corner. I will fight for you. I will correct you. I will love you. I will be there for you. I will tell you that you are worth more than diamond and gold. I will tell you that God loves you. I will tell you that I love you. I will stand there right behind you, beside you, and in front of you. I will tell you that you matter every single day because you do, because this world will tell you that you don't, but I will tell you that you do each and every day. I will tell you to follow your dreams, and I will remind you on the days when you think your dreams don't matter that they do. When you get off track, I will turn your head back to where you wanted to go and tell you to keep on going. I'm the one who will send you a card in the mail to remind you of your worth. I will send you a text message out the blue. We don't have to talk every day, but just know that I'm thinking about you every single day. I will remind you that you are loved and you are worthy of all the good things that life has to offer you, every single thing. And when times get tough, just call. And I will remind you that you have the strength. Walk like you have 1,000 ancestors behind you, because your ancestors dreamed of you. They planted the seed for you. They knew that you were coming. That's why they thrive. That's why they survive. That's why they fought. They knew that you were coming. They dreamt of you. They called you forth. And here you are, living the life that they couldn't. Living the life that they couldn't. So before you complain about what you have, remember your ancestors called you forth. They called you forth. They dreamt of you. And here you are living. So do the work that your hands are called to do, and live well.
I'm going to listen to this recording again and again and again. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's truly a gift. You're a gift to us. And we're so glad that you share yourself with us so we can be the best us. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. You are an absolute joy and a pleasure and a treasure. Keep doing what you do. We need more of you in the world. So thank you. You are a beautiful spirit, and I see the glow all around you. So thank you. Thank you for being you. We need you. Thank you.
Oh my God. I need to book you next week. Come on. Followed you on Facebook.
Absolutely.
Even if you don't post every day, I'm gonna go. This has been amazing. Dr. Michelle Meggs, she's the executive director over at UNC Charlotte Women and Girls Research Alliance. She's amazing. Follow her. Just Google her. See all the amazing work that she just done. Our 1 hour public talk radio is up. I'm glad we ended with that one, right?
Wow.
I am your hostess of the mostest, Francie Marie. Join us next week at same time, same station. And until we meet, and you know one day we will, I want you to have a good week. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Francie Marie Show, where we address issues concerning you and your family.
That's all for now.
See you next week.
Do not harm us. We have come to your planet for one thing, the Francie Marie Show. It's the only content we can digest.